Oh, the fucking metronome's okay.
hang on. We can do this. Unless you actually
prefer. It actually stopped. Oh, okay, great. That was a bad start. Hello and welcome to Joel Stickley and Luke Wright Practice Being Spontaneous. Great title, Joel.
We now have a title. We have a title. Better than having no title.
It's better than having no title.
Arguably.
So, and what a week it's been since we were here last.
Oh, God, what a week.
Yeah, well, we've climbed up the podcast charts on Podomatic.com.
Yes, on Podomatic.com. Not, of course, on iTunes, because that's where the real people with real podcasts live. That's where Stephen Fry and Eddie Izzard are.
Does Eddie Izzard do a podcast?
I believe it's the number one podcast.
Oh, we should be listening to that.
should we just listen to that instead?
I think
it might be recording of gigs rather than.
Well, that's cheating. You can't do that. I could record my gigs and it'd be very listenable. But at the end of the day, what I decided to do, what I thought people would rather hear,
is just ramble on aimlessly.
Just ramble on aimlessly about a variety of subjects. But no, I have. We were thinking about what to talk about today on the podcast, and I haven't really got a lot in my mind because I've spent the last week. Going on to the Podomatic. It has been a bit Podomatic. on the Podomatic podcast page, the back end, I think they believe it called the website, and just pressing refresh to see if anyone else has downloaded the podcast.
These are the small obsessions that dominate your life.
I might do that maybe once before breakfast.
Okay.
When I get to work, to I might do up. It again. Now I might say to one of my work colleagues, 48 downloads this week. And they won't know what I'm talking about. I have to explain.
You'll have to try and convince them that 48 is an impressive number.
Yeah, 48 is good.
It sounds small, isn't it?
we reached as high as number 12 in the Podomatic comedy charts.
So in the specific comedy charts...
Of a specific website.
Of a specific website where not many podcasts seem to be hosted.
Yeah.
Number 12. Not quite top 10.
Number 12. Not quite top 10, no.
Brilliant.
Did you know what was number one? Did you check on that?
I checked on that. Look at that.
It's called the Lesbian Mafia.
That sounds like I don't think they should be seeking publicity through online broadcasting. That just seems foolhardy. That's hubris.
Well, the Lesbian Mafia appears to be some kind of comedy show. I presume it's in the comedy charts. I mean, the very fact that lesbians exist is not funny. I mean, it might be something for some people.
The Mafia is reasonably funny.
The Mafia is
on its own.
It's a ridiculous archaic concept, the Mafia, isn't
it? It's kind of lovely. If something criminal is around for long enough, then you get a certain nostalgia about it. Oh, it's just the Mafia.
The Mafia.
My brother's only been killed by the Mafia.
Yeah, it's not like the Russian criminals. They're the worst, aren't they? The Russians in all ways.
It's because they're new. Those upstarts.
Yeah, exactly. Even in like the circles of the super rich, everyone sort of tut-tuts at the Russians. I was watching Alan Wicker. Lovely Alan Wicker. Oh, he's all frail.
It doesn't matter what we write down on this list. You were going to talk about Alan Wicker every single week.
Alan Wicker went to Palm Springs and these women were sort of talking about, the rich Palm Springs and how it's lost its way and all the Russians have moved in. So everyone looks down the Russians and the Mafia look at
So in the billionaire community, the Russians are the unwanted immigrants.
Yeah, they're the new money, the new very rich, aren't they?
They're like...
The nouveau rich, the nouveau super rich.
The nouveau super rich. Lovely. So, Russian billionaires are to the jet set what Polish plumbers are to Great Yarmouth.
They
perform a valuable service and actually buoy everyone else up in that economy.
No one wants them there. It's true. But the lovely Alan Wicker with his little frail old man. Oh, I went to Palm Springs 20 years ago. Lovely. He was talking to them and they were... But The Mafia, so do you think they get annoyed with the new Russian criminals?
Oh, I'm sure they do. These new criminals don't have the traditions and the hilarious accents that the Mafia has made.
Mamma mia, it's the new Russian fella. Ay, ay, ay.
I wonder, was Mario and Luigi from the Nintendo series of games were... Okay, in stereotype stakes, you have to pick a winner from... a diminutive mustachioed plumber and the kind of mafia that you see depicted in The Sopranos and The Godfather. Which do you think is the better stereotype? If you were Italian, which would you prefer?
But one's a goodie and one's a baddie, Joel.
Are they, though?
Yeah, Mario is a goodie.
Not from the point of view of Bowser.
I don't mean he's in the goodies with
Tim Brooke Taylor
and Garden. Yeah, Bill Oddie.
Body.
he's a goodie. And The Sopranos, they break the law. They're crims, Joel. They're dirty crims.
No, because it's supposed to be like a flawed anti-hero. You're supposed to sympathise with the murderers.
What, like the devil in Paradise Lost?
Yeah.
He's a flawed anti-hero.
I'd argue that Mario in the Mario games is the same. I think that Mario is the devil in Paradise Lost.
How? Go make that work.
When he eats the flower thing, he could throw fireballs, which is exactly what Satan does in Paradise Lost. Yeah. And wasn't there some problem exporting Mario... am I getting this confused? There was something. No, that was the other way around. That was trying to get Mickey Mouse into Japan, and people had a problem with it because he only had three fingers and a thumb on his hand.
He's a mouse, though.
Yeah, but mice don't actually have any sort of white gloved hands, so realism wasn't the issue.
They don't stand on 2 feet like us.
having one finger, they don't own a dog. Having one finger missing culturally denoted, having been in trouble with the triad.
Oh, that's stupid, though.
You think that's
an urban myth? Yeah, that's stupid.
The cartoon they did try and export first was Mickey Mouse and the Triad.
which did very well. It made sense. It was just the absence of the Triad later on. That's
the strongest narrative of any Disney cartoon.
Yeah, so anyway, we've been working our way up the Podomatic podcasting charts.
Yes.
I think we have about 50 subscribers now. If you're one of those 50, welcome back. Welcome back. And I should apologise for the word scrobling, which isn't a word, is scrobbling.
Scrobbling. We probably said scrobbling about 34 times in last week's podcast.
Scrobble, like, you know, and we just said it, you know, in the course of other humour. And to anyone out there who knew, like Chris Gom from London, who wrote in to tell us, anyone else who knows...
Just Chris Gom that knew that. I think no one else in the world knows.
No, there was someone else who contacted me on Facebook. Thank God they did tell me it's scrobbling, as in gobble. And I think it was someone on Twitter, so it barely even registers.
As soon as I saw it written down, that was my analysis of it.
I had seen it written down many times.
Well, I just trusted you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like dyslexic psychic. Hey, dyslexic psychic. Let's go into that warehouse. What are all these women doing here?
It's very obscure.
A genuine attempt at humour there, which won't be repeated, I promise.
I won't make the final edit. It's very easy to mispronounce words that you only ever see written down. Though, if you never, you know, if you just see a word on a page and you never hear it out loud,
like missled.
Missled. Yeah. That's misled. For anyone following along with pen and paper at home, because our friend Ross had a bit of trouble with Chairman Mao.
Didn't he? Our friend Ross, for years as a child, thought that Chairman Mao was pronounced Chairman Mayo.
Altogether less sinister.
Which does sound like a great fast food chain. And there was a bar in Norwich a few years ago called Cafe Dar, and it was a Russian, well, it wasn't even a Russian theme bar.
It was a communist theme.
It was a communist theme. It wasn't just a Russian theme bar. A Russian theme bar would be rubbish. There'd be like a one McDonald's and billions of people living on the bread line, and then that fella who owns Chelsea sit in the middle just wanking. That'd be a Russian theme bar. It was a communist theme bar.
As all bars are, quite capitalist in its outlook and organisation.
Aesthetically speaking, it had a picture of Lenin on the wall and it sold vodka. That was as far as it went. It didn't sort of like split all its profits with the workers and then kill off the ones that caused trouble. That'd be a Stalinist theme bar, isn't it?
A Stalinist purge theme bar. I love how people can co-opt historical atrocities for commercial gain. All the T-shirts with pictures of Chairman Mao and, you know...
Do you get pictures of it?
Yeah, in the same way you do Che Guevara.
Both Che Guevara, yeah.
Brave heroes.
The Bolivian guerrilla leader, I believe he was, wasn't he?
Terrorist and murderer, like.
Was he a terrorist and murderer?
Terrorist and murderer.
But he said, but the thing about Che Guevara, I don't know anything about him, but I decided not to like him because it annoys those sort of slightly sanctimonious left-wing people. You know, I am left wing. You know, I'm a big Blair supporter, and I'm going to get in so much trouble. But people just go on about, oh, you know, Che Guevara this, Che Guevara this.
That's a great response. That is cutting.
Just annoying, isn't it?
Political satire.
Just annoying. So yeah, no, I don't know anything about Che Guevara.
I did
a benefit gig for him.
You did a benefit gig for Che Guevara. Did he appreciate it?
I think it was a party to celebrate the film coming out.
The great historical legacy of a political leader reduced to box office receipts.
No, two films.
Two films?
No, I'm eating chocolate.
Not just chocolate, a 230 gram bar of dairy milk caramel. which I haven't had any of yet.
Phil Spector.
You got into a bit of trouble this week.
That was a seamless limp. Yeah, with Phil Spector is on our list of things to talk about. Let's be talking about Phil Spector. I've got an article here from Times 2.
That's the second part of the Times newspaper.
Yeah, there's not like, you know, a start of
multiplication newsletter.
It's called The Madness of Phil Spector. People love that title, don't they? Everyone wants to write one of those titles because, you know, people like to do The Madness of so-and-so. You know, it's a reference to the madness. It looks like they've read a book or... Was it a film, The Madness of King George?
The Madness of King George, Nigel Hawthorne portraying the insane monarch.
So
my grandparents want dog sat for Sir Nigel Hawthorne.
Did they really?
He also portrayed Sir Humphrey Appleby, of course, famously in Yes Minister.
In Yes Minister.
And latterly Yes Prime Minister.
Yeah, yeah.
They said he was a very nice man. And he was on the Oscars panel that year, and he gave them a load of the DVDs that he'd been given by the Oscars committee that he was supposed to watch in order to make his Oscar recommendations, and said that he didn't really have time to watch them, and could they have a look at the films and tell him what they thought.
So what year was this that your grandparents dog sat for Sir Nigel Hawthorne?
It was a few years ago, because he's dead now, of course. He died...
Of course.
He died three or 4 years ago.
The madness of Sir Nigel Hawthorne. Did he go mad and he started reciting scripts from Yes Minister alone in his room at night? I've been all witty and
I'm not sure.
Withering and just going, ah, fuck the thick of it. Fuck you bastards. You've stole my thing. And ranting mad. Is that what happened?
Throwing darts at a picture of Armando Iannucci.
No, he might have done.
My parents never told me about that. It might have been dog sitters' professional discretion that prevented them from telling me that.
So what year was it he was on the panel? Come on, because we need to know what Oscars your grandparents decided. can we hear a little bit about your grandparents first? Who are your grandparents and why are they?
Why are they? That's an existential question.
Yeah. But you know, who are they? Who are these people that decided the Oscars in the year whatever it was?
They're Pat and Ray Stickley. They're my father's parents. And... a few years ago, they did a stint as dog sitters through an organisation, I believe, called Animal Aunts.
So they were like, it was an umbrella, clandestine, evil organisation.
Oh yes, I imagine full of many retired people. dog sitting for Hollywood actors.
So it wasn't Hollywood actors.
No, I'm
just
I'm making light of Sir Nigel Hawthorne's involvement. I believe it was just a perfectly normal, everyday, non-celebrity dog sitting organisation. That's my understanding.
Oh, he's making light of Sir Nigel Hawthorne. It's a wonderful sentence that should just exist there. What are you doing? What are you doing to that child? I was just making light of Sir Nigel Hawthorne. Sorry. Walk into a shop naked from the waist down. Just start defecating on the floor. And they go, what are you doing? I'm just making light of Sir Nigel Hawthorne.
But that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter. But it's
impenetrable jargon.
It's just a good get-out clause, isn't it? For anything. Do you know what I mean?
I'm goading John Le Mesurier.
No, it doesn't have the same ring.
Not the same ring.
Oscars. I typed Oscars into Google here, Joel.
What a good move. It must have been early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Well, that would make it either...
You know what, Luke?
2000,
I will find
2001,
out.
2002, 2003. Well, I want to know now.
I will talk to my grandmother. I will find out. And next week, we can discuss their Oscar picks.
Oh, I've got some dickhead talking to me on the internet, sorry. Phil Spector,
that's what we were talking about. Mm. Wall of Sound. So, what's this article's analysis of Phil Spector?
Well,
Phil Spector, good thing, bad thing?
The Spector spectacle. That's good, yeah. Lust, murder, and shocking hair.
The hair, not so important. If you're constructing a three-point list... about, you know, a formerly famous music producer who has been convicted of murder, the hair, probably the least of your worries, I would think.
Yeah, but what they do...
In fact, they've got a breakdown of his different haircuts throughout the years at the bottom of the page. But I can't help but feel that the Times isn't taking this murder conviction seriously.
These are the wigs he wore. Wigs on trial. So wigs on trial, is that a pun that I'm not getting? Wigs on trial.
Don't think so.
A bit like Girls on Film. Wigs on Trial. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if Duran Duran had launched themselves into the world with a song called Wigs on Trial, I don't think they'd be where they are now.
No. Well, they might be exactly where they are now, but they wouldn't have been where they were at the height of their fame.
No, Duran Duran got a Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2005 Brits.
Oh, that's the kiss of death, though, isn't it? Lifetime Achievement Award, yeah.
Anyway, so Wigs on Trial, but Phil Spector. Now, I don't want to bring up Formula One again, but he does look a little bit like Bernie Eccleston, doesn't he? Phil Spector.
Another man who's courted controversy in the past. And have we ever seen them in the same place at the same time?
No.
No, we have not. But we have seen Bernie Eccleston... And murderous...
Carry on with his normal life, while Phil Spector has been locked up, though, so I think... Well, actually, if Bernie Eccleston doesn't turn up for the Grand Prix this weekend, then we know it's happened.
They don't lock up famous people in real prisons. They lock them up in prisons made of marshmallows that have big holes in the wall, and they say, oh, can I go out? Can I go and manage all of Formula One? But you've got to come back by lunchtime, and that's how it works.
Maybe he'll be locked up in a prison... with walls made of sound, Joel. Hey?
That would be the ultimate ironic punishment. A kind of sonic fence keeping him in. Every time he approaches it, he just hears a rising howl of Motown-style pop.
There's nothing more to say on Phil Spector. We've done the wall of sound.
Within a wall of sound.
Are there any other puns we can do on Phil Spector? We could say...
A spectre of his former self.
He could be kept in a river deep... With mountains high, no, that doesn't work, does it? No.
We're kind of going backwards. I think we peaked, and now we're just tobogganing down this mountain of bad comedy.
There's nothing more to say about Phil Spector. Is it a sad thing? What do you think, Joel?
Is it a sad thing?
No,
Phil Spector. For the person who murdered it, probably, is on the family of that.
Look, but she was a B-movie actress. She wasn't a rocker.
I thought you were going to say B-atch. Luke's gone very hip-hop all of a sudden.
I don't say biatch.
Joel, she was a biatch.
Joel, she was a... God damn.
You actually don't have any hip-hop lingo to add to that, do you?
No, I'm fresh out. It's like you run out of bread. It's like, I've just got like the two sort of crusty end bits of hip-hop lingo left. I haven't got any lovely, soft hip-hop lingo in the middle.
That's biatch and selector. The only two things. I think you need to watch more Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. As we discovered last week... You can take everything you need to know about American culture from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so...
Jazzy Heston.
Absolutely.
Mm. So, a good thing or bad thing? That he's gone mad. Obviously a bad thing, I'm even asking.
Well, it depends on when you're measuring
from.
Were you
rooting for him to get... I was rooting for him to get off.
Were you?
Oh, I don't know anything about this woman he killed. I mean, sad and all that, but at the end of the day, I love Phil Spector. He's gone to some brilliant stuff. He can do
this more. Is why the legal system exists. Because if we left it to individual people like you to make judgments based on no facts...
But on the plus side, I never would have had Princess Diana killed.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, I would.
I would never have killed. I wasn't a huge fan, but I don't think it did anyone any good.
I think one tiny piece of good, didn't it? Well, yeah. Camilla, obviously, but... graffiti artists. It did quite well. Not professional graffiti artists. They're actually artists. I mean,
how do you become a professional graffiti artist?
Artist. You daub graffiti over a series of years until someone says,
until the wall starts paying you. Does it?
Yes. Yeah.
I know we're going to get a spate of anger. We're not a spate. I mean, we might get one slightly narked email saying, "Well, it's a graffiti artist is blah blah blah." I know. Just making comedy here.
Yeah, but I was walking under an underpass in Galston near Great Yarmouth a few years ago, yes.
Galston is like an unfortunate appendage to Great Yarmouth, which is really saying something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a pimple on a cancer.
Yeah, it is.
And I saw in big white letters, daubed under this underpass, "Diana, we know they killed you." Now, if he's sure about that, why is he writing her a note? And if he decided to write her a note to reassure her, why does he think that her ghost will be under an underpass in Galston near Great Yarmouth in Norfolk?
I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, I'm assuming it was a man. I'm just, in quite a sexist way, I'm assuming
who does that?
Or insane graffiti artists.
Okay. Well, let's assume initially that it is a man.
Okay.
Okay, we can go back and, and follow
amend
a different
that,
path.
Yeah.
Amend it later. But it's a man, okay? Yeah. He lives in the Galston, Great Yarmouth area.
He might not do. Might have bussed in.
Might have thought
he might have been living in Paris or London and thought to himself, Well, maybe whilst wandering past something that reminded him of Diana. I know they killed her. I know, but I have to.
Or perhaps he woke up in a cold sweat one morning, just sort of, you know, when it's strapped in bed, like Wolverine, sort of, you know, claws come out, and he's just like sweating, just going.
That is an amazing first line to a short story. He awoke like Wolverine. That is some fan fiction goodness right there.
He wakes up as well. Go
in a cold sweat.
If we have any, writers out there listening to the podcast, wasting your day, you know, procrastinating. Mm. If you want something to do, write us a short story. It's a story under 250 words.
Yep.
That starts off, he woke up like Wolverine.
And send that story to practicebeingspontaneous@gmail.com. Of course, that means that you have to know how to spell the word spontaneous in order to make a submission. But I think that's a good kind of barrier to entry. If you're going to write a story, you should know how to spell the word spontaneous.
I was paranoid this week when I set up all the Perhaps Being Spontaneous stuff that I'd spelt it wrong. So actually, you just need to be able to spell spontaneous in the same way that I've spelt it
to set up the email
account. I think it's correct.
So the challenge is spell spontaneous the same as Luke and write a short story.
There you go.
And we'll read them out next week if we get any. I wonder if I can ask you a novel and interesting question that I'm sure you've never been asked before. Who are your influences? Mm. What are your inspirations, Luke?
Well, as I said, Joe, I don't have any inspiration.
Is that because no one's quite good enough?
No one's really good enough. Mm. If anything, I say his inspiration is contamination of my ideas.
The purity of your own thoughts.
Well, a lot of people say to me about inspiration, they go, Oh, I was so inspired by seeing the best person in their field. You know, I went to Wembley in 70 and saw Pele play football against and it really inspired me. I don't know who Pele, Brazilian
footballer,
really inspired me. I thought, oh, brilliant! Well, I want to become a footballer, and you know, one day I got to play football for Manchester United or some other such team. And that's a typical story. Someone went, I was a young lad and my dad took me to a Mark Knopfler concert. And Mark Knopfler's adept noodling on the guitar really inspired me to go and become, you know, Slash.
anecdote that ends with inspired me to become Slash is worth telling.
Yeah, or something like that. But people talk about, you know, the finest in their film.
Slash was inspired by Mark Knopfler. That seems an unlikely progression of influences through musical history. And you're tracing the family tree of Guns N' Roses, the kind of the influence map. I'm not sure Knopfler features in that.
I'm sure he probably did. He did Mark Knopfler. It was Mark Knopfler Status Quo. Is he Status Quo? Who's Mark Knopfler from?
I don't even know. It's just a funny name.
Mark Knopfler.
You're supposed to be the one who knows cultural reference points. And
Mark Knopfler. But I'm not inspired in that way by the greats. Mark Knopfler puts me off of anything. I just think, that's fucking good. I'll never be able to do that. Move on.
Might as well not bother.
I'm inspired by the slightly shoddy, mediocre people.
So that's how you've ended up in a field such as performance poetry.
Julian, my new accent, I went to go watch that Brian Clough movie last week.
Go on then.
It's a bit from The Damned United when he's drunk and he rings Don Revy late at night. He goes, "They won't play for me, your boys. They're loyal to you, Don fucking Revy." There you go. That's how he sounds like.
Brilliant.
That is my impression of Michael Sheen doing an impression of Brian Clough. I'm clapping myself there.
But you were joining in with the sarcastic clap.
I don't know about the rest of it, but the bit that goes, "They won't play for me, your boys," that is pretty accurate to how it sounds in the film. But someone did point out to me this week, it sounds a little bit like my impression of Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. So I wonder what Brian Clough would be like. So that sounds a bit like a Rory Bremner.
There will be Clough.
Yeah, There Will Be Clough. "If I have a milkshake and you have a milkshake, and I put my straw in your milkshake, drainage." You're staring at me because you haven't actually watched There Will Be Clough.
No, I haven't seen. I'm really enjoying the quotation. That's going really well.
There Will Be Clough.
There we go. That's a good pitch.
It will be clever.
That's your elevator.
And he
pitch,
finds
isn't it?
Peter Taylor as a baby and takes him around with him to try. You haven't seen
time travel adventure.
The Damned United either, have you?
No.
No.
We're just talking about two. I'm really enjoying it, but we are talking about two films I haven't seen.
That's a shame because I think there's a lot of stuff going on here that even if no one out there in podcast land finds it amusing, I think you would find it amusing, Joel. I think. I have a milkshake, and you have a milkshake. Right.
As it is, only you are finding it amusing.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Which is fine. That's 50% of our audience, so.
That's fine. No, it isn't, Joel. As we well know, we've climbed the podcast charts this week. We've climbed the podcast charts. So, we've covered everything on our list, apart from two subjects, and that is Easter. Did you have a nice Easter, Joel? Did you go and have a nice
Easter? Yeah, I had a lovely Easter. I went and saw my mum and dad and my sisters, and yes, I had a lovely time. There's nothing particularly funny about that. I don't have a hilarious anecdote, but I did have a
lovely
Easter.
Joel. I've got a stable family life, and we all get on and talk to each other. Well, I saw my parents too.
Good, okay.
Good. And we've got like, but did you have this, when I was younger, when I'm a little boy, I had, we would get like one Easter egg, you know, one Easter egg, and we could eat that Easter egg, you know, with reckless abandon on that one day. For that one day, nothing counted, you could eat as much chocolate as you like, and you generally had to eat it all, because the next day you couldn't just wake up and go, even though it was bank holiday, even though there was no school. And that was fine, but I used to come to school, and all the kids, it's typically the kids who used to like, you know, the kids like, who used to like, missed the last week of term because they were going on holiday, and you'd but you've got like loads of holiday. They'd be like, nah, but my parents take me to Benidorm, or they always went to Mallorca or Benidorm, and they always used to miss the last week. Missed the last week of school. That used to annoy me. That used to irritate me. Okay, but I realised that it used to irritate my parents as well. So I would
take
the opposing
as well,
and it takes pictures. People go, oh yeah, the last week we have to go on holiday. Like, oh, the whole fucking lives revolve around holidays. I've got that holiday. I've got to go on holiday. I hate people like that. I hate them. I literally hate them. They can fuck off and die. But those people, the same people who had that, were the ones you'd go, how many Easter eggs you get? How many Easter eggs you get? It's not like, did you get an Easter egg? What Easter egg?
Did you have a nice weekend?
How many Easter eggs did you get? Like, obviously one. One is enough for any person. How many Easter eggs did you get? They go, well, I got one for me mum, and I got one for me nan. There was a nans as well. The nans, but my nan didn't play a part in my life at all. She was dead, admittedly, all my life. But like, they always had a nan. They always talk about nan. Benidorm, nans, and lots of Easter eggs. My nan came round, and man, fuck off with your nan. Like, your nan should have her own house and can only come round intermittently. Admittedly, Easter, that's a fair enough time to have a nan round. Fair enough. Okay, so their nan gave him one, their mum gave him one. Oh, Auntie Jane, who wasn't actually an auntie, it's like a mum's friend. I didn't really approve of that either. They gave me one, and then, like, you know, someone else came because I had four this last year, but I got five this year. I'd be like, I got one because that's a reasonable amount of eggs to get, and I'm not going on holiday until the middle of the holidays.
There's a torrent of childhood hurt just pouring out of me.
No, it's not hurt. Like, I never wanted to be like them. I just wanted them to be like me. Oh, I'm going to go on holiday in the middle of the term to Benidorm. Yeah, to Benidorm for 2 weeks in the middle of the term. Why? Why? Because, like, an education's not important. Holidays are important. And lots of eggs. I'm going to go to Benidorm. I'm going to go to Benidorm and lie on the beach, yeah, with all the eggs on top of me until the eggs melt on me and I'm covered in chocolate. And then my nan, who comes around far too regularly, will come and lick it all off with her big nan tongue.
And I think that's a natural conclusion to that particular stream of consciousness.
That's all I've got to say about Easter, Joel.
I think that's probably all you should say about Easter today, Link.
Sorry.
You were going in a strange direction there. I just want to preemptively apologise to anyone who was listening.
No, I'm just fine. I don't mean it about nans, but I mean it about Benidorm and chocolate eggs. Nans is fine. I have nans round.
You're saying you don't resent people who have grandparents?
No.
How big of you? How noble?
Noble.
But how dare you go on holiday?
Yeah. Talking about big and noble, I watched another film this week. It was called King Arthur, and it was, quite frankly, a pretty poor representation of the King Arthur myth as I understand it. It starred. You haven't seen this one either, have you? No, we can't.
That's good. Well, I think this should be a feature. This should
it was
be
rubbish.
Every week we take 10 minutes to just talk about a series of films I haven't seen.
What have you been doing with your time? It was a network premiere of King Arthur starring Clive can't act Owen and Keira can't act Knightley. You'd think with middle names like that they would have perhaps not become actors. Yes, it's terrible. Really? Clive Owen's a nice looking man. He's very attractive. Wouldn't kick him out of bed in the cold night.
That's just mean, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't be in my bed on a cold night, to be quite honest.
You wouldn't go to his bed on a cold night and kick him out of it. Because that would be assault.
Yeah, that would be assault. I don't know where he lives. He's a celebrity. He lives in celebrity land in a big compound.
Stalking, breaking and entering, assault and battery.
And sending his dogs off to your grandparents to be watched and sat.
They don't do that anymore. They had to get out of the game.
They had to get out of the game. The mafia take
they got in too deep.
The racketeering.
the mafia dog-sitting.
Ay, 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 mamma mia. I take over this racketeering now, eh?
If there's anyone from the mafia listening, I just want to point out that Luke has been far ruder about you than I have. And I love pasta, and I really respect you.
Ay, 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 I'm mamma mia, hey, I'm the mafia, I'm a big stupid crime boss. Ay, 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 come on, suck on that. Fuck you.
Good, okay, well, I think that's that sorted.
Good.
The comments on your blog this week will be exclusively from members of the mafia.
Man, the mafia don't read my blog, do they?
Don't they, Luke?
Not anymore,
they
no,
have fingers in all the pies.
Do you know what? I lost 5 fans on Facebook fan page this week. 5. 5 people went... Oh, I'm not really a fan of him after all. Like, why tease me? Why become a fan then not be a fan? At least tell me why. Give me some feedback. Why are you not my fan? I know it's essentially a meaningless thing, but it's very similar to
the how many Easter eggs did you get question. How many fans have you got on Facebook? Well, surely it should be the quality of those fans that you're interested in. One fan should be enough for anyone, Luke.
Are you my fan?
I'm all you need.
Oh, that's good. Well, shall we conclude things this week by talking about Robert Stack? Because we mentioned him in passing last week.
Yeah, we did mention him in passing as the presenter of, what was it, Unexplained Mysteries?
Unsolved Mysteries. And we were messaged by Steve from Nottingham.
My dad.
Joel's dad, and you didn't ever know this. Joel's dad.
He knew quite a lot about Robert Stack.
He did, yeah. He said he was his boyhood hero. And he used
I wouldn't go that far. He did say that Robert Stack had an unusually square face.
He said boyhood hero.
Oh, I missed that.
Admit it. Your dad, your superior and better, yeah, had Robert Stack as his boyhood hero. What does that make your boyhood hero? Who was your boyhood hero?
I don't think I had a
boyhood hero. Who says that?
Well, you about 5 times just now.
Boyhood hero. It's great boyhood. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just in boyhood at the moment. Just playing football, eating pick and mix.
In a couple of months' time, I'll be in older boyhood.
Yeah, older boyhood.
Teenagehood.
Older boyhood sounds like a borough of Liverpool, doesn't it?
Older boyhood.
All right, I'm from older boyhood.
You don't mess with people from older boyhood.
Yeah, it's the older boyhood crew. Yeah,
but Robert Stack had quite an interesting movie career. In the 1940s, he starred in a series of action war films. He was in Eagle Squadron mm-hmm. in 1942. In 1948, he was in Fighter Squadron, mm-hmm. probably quite similar. 1953, Sabre Jet.
Did he leave the lucrative Squadron series behind?
Yeah, he did. He moved on to the more straightforwardly named Action Man in 1967. And in 1968...
Was he Action Man?
I believe so.
Is this where the Action Man toys come from?
I don't think it was based on the Action Man toy.
So, when is the Action Man toy from? Shall I find out?
Yeah, you find out where the Action Man toy is from.
And you carry on telling the people about Robert Stack.
Informing people about the filmography of Robert Stack. Because in 1968, he was in a film called Alone, Unarmed and Unafraid. The concept of which is neatly encapsulated in the title. And basically, his
Alone,
career...
unarmed and unafraid.
That's a great description. So he was in all these kind of gung-ho, action, war-based films. But then in 1980, he was in the film Airplane, the comedy film, the Mel Brooks film. And it seems like after that, he never made a serious film again. He was in Caddyshack 2. He was in Transformers, the movie, and in Beavis and Butthead Do America. So he started his career as an all-American action hero.
And became a parody of himself.
And ended his life as a parody of himself. It's quite sad.
Now, the Action Man is an action figures toy launched in Britain in 1966 by Palatoy. It's a licensed copy of Hairspray's American Movable Fighting Man, G.I. Joe. So the Action Man is
the film
British.
Action Man, released in 1967, may have been connected.
Well, it's the same sort of time, isn't it? But it doesn't mention that on Wikipedia, and if it doesn't mention Wikipedia, it's not...
It didn't exist.
Didn't exist, did it? No, exactly. Which is why I don't exist. No one's made me a Wikipedia page yet.
Fair enough.
No.
Any final thoughts for this week, Luke? Well, what lessons are you taking away?
I think I'll be a little bit excitable this week, Joel.
I very much enjoyed your regression to childhood.
Yeah, I've been a bit excited.
It's more like a therapy session.
Some of that might be worth keeping. Some of the more excitable stuff might be cut. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've eaten far too much Dairy Milk Caramel. And my favourite bits were talking about Easter. Easter was a highlight for me. So any final thoughts from you, Joel?
No.